TV has many genres. Horror, action. One of those genres is anime. Anime has tropes, beach episodes, Christmas episodes, etc. A tournament hawk is one of those tropes. We delve inside this niche rabbit hole and mention our favorite fights and tournament arcs in anime on the next Region Nerd Alert, this Saturday at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
And my name is Jose. I come from L.A. I'm here to say this is Region Nerd Alert, a.k.a. RNA. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
Doing well.
All right. And if you are listening on the streams, this is Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And this is Region Nerd Alert. I'm Jose Rodriguez. And if you want to hear this anywhere, if you're like, oh man, I really want to hear this guy's voice some more, Spotify, Apple Podcast,
the NPR One app.
The NPR One app. If you want to listen to us, you can do any of those. Or just type us up in Google, and we will be the first one. Region Nerd Alert, NPR. Also, follow us on Facebook. We respond to messages very quickly, extremely quickly. I've had 3 messages. This is
each responded to quickly, quicker than the last.
You can ask all 3 of them. They, episode 44, I think, right now. 43, 44. And 3 messages. We will send you stickers if you ask. We will send you a lot, anything you want. We have some a junk bin here for being a PBS station. We have horse videos, DVDs. I think we even have VHS. That's how long we've been a thing. But anyways, I'm Jose Rodriguez. To my left is
Skyler, a.k.a. Olatho. I do music stuff. You can find me on Twitter at OfficiallyOVA, and then you can find links to my other stuff from there.
And your last name?
Roth Gibb.
Oh!
It's been dropped before.
Has it been dropped before?
Fully go for
it. I was just trying to coax you. Skyler Roth Gibb, there we
Skyler
go.
Skyler Roth Gibb.
Follow the Roth Gibbs at 7320. no address name yet. But anyways, to his left, we have
Paul, the guy with no social media handles.
There we go. Living off the grid. Paul Polgorzowski, right?
Yeah. Thanks for pronouncing it correctly.
The most sought after guest.
I was like, you are the guest, Paul, because I think other than my name being dropped, your name has been full name dropped.
On the very first episode, I think.
I think so,
or
too.
One of the first ones.
One of the first ones that you were on, I think. And I think it's because you're off the grid that we, you know, we...
Paul, go find him. Become his friend.
If you find Paul, we will gift you.
It's like, well, where's Waldo?
That's all I have.
Paul's got to keep them things on him just in case someone's like, hey, are you Paul Polgorzowski?
Yes. Oh, dang it. Here you go.
Here's your sticker.
If you want a sticker, find Paul. Hashtag where's Paul. But anyways.
Where's Paul Doe?
Paul Doe.
Yes.
The great Paul Doe. But anyways.
Good Lord.
Good Lord indeed. Did I say I'm Jose Rodriguez? Yes, I did. I just love saying our last names. But from the intro, you've heard it. This is probably one of the most niche episodes of Region Nerd Alert in the history of Region Nerd Alert. Not only are we talking about the niche thing of anime, we're going to crunch it together and talk
about sub-niche
of an anime trope, even subber. Tournament arcs.
The best parts.
The best parts. And if you don't know, if someone says, what's a tournament arc? What do you mean? Like, what does that mean? Basically, in anime, specifically anime that involves fighting mostly, there's some exceptions to that rule. And also specifically, Shonen Jump anime has a lot of tournament arcs in it as well. Others are have those as well, but a lot of Shonen Jump. Basically, in the anime, there's some sort of tournament that goes on that pits the characters against each other, who you want to see in action, battle action. And I think it's a way for the writers to be like, man, I can't really think of a really good, unique, deep story, so let's throw in a tournament arc for a season.
Let's just find a nice way to set our main character against the big bad, but instead of them fighting it right away, let's have a slew of junk characters.
Junk characters. And
leading up to it.
Maybe bubble up some abilities that weren't previously
gimmicky
there.
Crap that's not good for regular people. It's like, this power would be good, but it's like a...
Right.
Let's give it to this side character.
That's going to die in two episodes.
Right. This is the garbage pile, the curry of the anime ideas. This power would be really cool, but I don't know who to give it to. Let's just give it to one of the tournament people that they face, and hopefully them. But anyways, let's dive right in, shall we?
All right, yeah, let's do that. So,
Mr. Olathos, go ahead.
I'll wait to get to the Yu Yu Hakusho stuff because I feel like that's one of the more top tiers.
I think we all love that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's one of the greatest.
I'll start it off with something that's not necessarily fighting, but it is. Duel Monsters, a.k.a. Yu-Gi-Oh! Most of Yu-Gi-Oh! Is just a big tournament, to be honest.
If you aren't familiar with Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Oh! Is a card game, also anime. Which game first? I think the anime?
I think the anime.
Yeah, anime
sure.
Can, and then a very popular card game spawned from it. You listeners at home with kids probably know or have heard about Yu-Gi-Oh! It's also like another one, a good example of that, Pokemon, you know, Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards. But anyways, the anime, I think every season is like a tournament, isn't it?
So basically season one is Duelist Kingdom, where he's working his way up to fight Maximilian Pegasus. And you're, like, slowly...
And Pegasus has the eye, right?
Yeah,
so, like, in Yu-Gi-Oh! They have these Millennium items. Yu-Gi-Oh! Has this Millennium pendant or necklace or whatever, and then...
The puzzle?
The puzzle box.
The Millennium puzzle?
Millennium puzzle, yeah, that's right.
Aren't there three Millennium pieces?
I think there's, like, think nine there's like or something.
Yeah, there's, like,
that.
Like, five or more.
Wow, really? Wow.
Because, like, eventually, whatever, Bakura has one, and...
Merrick has, like, two or necklace
or something. But
out of all the people to own these gold Millennium pieces, I'm surprised Joey Wheeler doesn't have one. New Jersey.
Gotta have his gold on. But,
He's got the Millennium Dice.
Does he?
No.
The Millennium Nux.
The Golden Knuckle Dusters. Yes.
This is Millennium.
We need a redo.
It's because he's a what? Third-rate duelist with a fourth-rate deck.
Yeah, sadly.
That's why.
It's all monsters. How are you going to use this deck? It's all monsters.
It's beatdown deck, Yugs.
Beatdown deck.
I just got a compilation of all my best cons. These are all like three-star monsters.
Oh, man. It's a bunch of Death Touch one-offers. Anyways.
Yeah, so like a Duelist Kingdom, it's kind of like this island tournament and super epic. The rules, though, were broken AF. Like
now, when you say rules.
So like the rules of the tournament, like how much life points you start with, how you summon monsters.
Because this is an actual card game.
Right.
So the card game has literal booklet rules you have to play by. And the anime does not follow this.
It does not follow it.
It's hilarious.
One of the character's cards gets another monster shot at it, which breaks a superficial belt on the card that's not a part of the card or not another card attached to this card.
The floating ring.
The floating ring. Breaks this floating ring, and this other guy has all of his monsters trapped in this circle, which is being protected from the thing floating above them, this huge castle with this superficial levitation ring attached to it, which then gets destroyed, and the castle falls on top of his own monsters, which then destroys them somehow by proxy.
Oh, my God. That's like equivalent if you're playing Monopoly.
Sounds like house rules to me.
And, like, you're playing the dog, but then, I'm allergic to dogs, so you can't own Boardwalk. Or something really weird like that.
Or sacrificing your enraged battle ox and $5 to summon your next monster.
I won't pay my utilities this month, so I'm just going to skip the electric company space.
Oh, right. I don't need electricity. But from Duelist Kingdom, the next series, Battle City, which is 80 episodes of a tournament.
Dang, I didn't know it was that big.
80 episodes.
Are there like fillers in there and stuff?
Like, there's obviously like story and like some side chain missions that go on, but technically 80 episodes is all Battle City Tournament leading up for Yu-Gi-Oh! To fight Merrick at the end.
Isn't there, aren't the God cards in that one?
The God cards are introduced in the Battle City, yeah.
And in another, just blatant disregard for the rules, Kaiba has a God card as an obelisk.
No, technically he is right. But the way that he describes it is completely bonkers, and I would be so angry.
I think they changed it, too.
Did they retcon it because of that?
Because of the anime. They made, like, another set of the Egyptian gods, and
that line of text was on there?
Yeah.
It simply won't work.
I think the original. let me look it up just to...
You can't attack me because of this one card. That simply won't work.
Oh, no. You tried to activate a trap.
You activated my trap. Ha-ha. That simply won't work.
It just doesn't happen.
Simply
wait.
Hold on. I'm going to need you to explain these rules.
Judge?
Are you a part of the committee?
Yeah, judge. There's no judges. They're just playing.
No, and actually, he had it set up to where they weren't actually playing by the rules, I think, anyway, because they were attached by an anklet to these machines that when their life points hit zero, they'd fall through the fake ceiling of this skyscraper and would fall to their death.
Oh!
Oh, my goodness.
That's terrifying. Over a card game.
So, yeah, blatant disregard to the rules.
Kaiba's the one that set it up, too, isn't it?
What, the, no, it was the, they were rare hunters.
No, I thought it was, I thought Kaiba had set up that whole tournament.
Oh, Battle City tournament?
Yeah.
I mean,
he is
like
rich.
A Kaiba thing.
Oh, yeah. Kaiba did, he does have, like, some sort of tournament area.
Even in the third season, I think, was when they go to, like, Kaiba Corp, and then they get downloaded into that new version.
They
become the avatars. Yeah, the virtual series that like no one likes, but I kind of do.
Oh man! Usually when like an anime does like the virtual, which is another trope, like the whole this season is all virtual. So like Kingdom Hearts, it's not an anime, but Recoded was all in the virtual world.
Mm.
The Fate series obviously has a virtual segment that ties into the anime, but. It's a good cop out to have an interesting story, and to say it didn't really happen.
What were you saying earlier about the virtual one? It happens in the future.
Oh, the Fate one that it's the series, but it takes place in the future, but in a virtual simulation where it's like the past or vice versa.
The robot ghost of Christmas past from the future.
Thousands and thousands.
So that's mostly what I got for like Yu-Gi-Oh! Just the basically entirety of Yu-Gi-Oh! Is one huge tournament arc. That's it. Next we got Dragon Ball.
Also, real quick, this was the original text off the Obelisk the Tormentor card, which is worth like $600 on eBay now. It's very illegal in all forms of Yu-Gi-Oh! Play. The descent of this mighty creature shall be heralded by burning winds and twisted land. And with the coming of this horror, those who draw breath shall know the true meaning of eternal slumber.
That's the only text?
All flavor text.
Just a 4,000 creature with flavor text? A vanilla god card?
A vanilla god card, yes.
A vanilla god card.
I have this really expensive card. Oh, what does it do? Nothing.
It's just a beater.
It's just a beater.
It's a Voltron card.
Oh, my God.
This sickens me.
Just a beater. Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
But speaking of, before we go to DBZ, the Millennium items, you said there was like a few. What was the, like what happens at the end of the first season? Like how does that wrap up?
I think it's basically like Yugi's still trying to figure out his puzzle altogether, and Pegasus is just cheating hard because the Millennium Eye lets him see whatever.
Mm.
So...
And he's also the creator of the card game.
The reason that Yugi wins... Yeah, he is.
Oh, my God.
The reason that Yugi wins is because he no-looks plays a card, and he never looks at the card, so Pegasus never knows what the card is because Yugi never looked at it.
Oh, I remember
that. He Heart of the Cards it and gets exactly what he needs.
Oh, my God.
Some BS.
I totally...
This is my grandpa's but deck.
I think another another like side thing that was going on, too, was Mokubo was captured.
He has a Millennium Item, doesn't he?
I think he does.
If he's the kid I'm thinking... Or no, he's not the kid I'm thinking of. Because Mokubo's Kaiba's son?
Little brother. But yeah, like...
The gray-haired kid.
That's...
Merrick?
No. Well, Merrick is also gray-haired, but...
The guy that begins with B?
Yeah, Bakura.
Bakura.
Mm. Yeah, I forgot his name. But also, one of my favorite duels in Yu-Gi-Oh! Is when Joey Wheeler and what's the girl's name with the scented cards?
Oh, My Valentine.
Oh, man. That was some cheating right there. Well, actually, no, I wouldn't even consider... If you can identify each individual card by its smell...
It's marking...
When it's in the deck, all mixing together, that's pretty difficult. Just like counting cards. If you can count cards, then I feel like you should just be able to cheat.
I feel like anybody can count cards. You can't really like train your nose to identify 60 different smells among each other.
That is true.
She's just been sitting in her room for a month. All right, this is this card.
Unless they're all like scratch and sniff. It like hides it until...
That's the one.
Before each draw,
so much cheating goes on in Yu-Gi-Oh! It's ridiculous.
That reminds me of I think it's Kakaguri,
the gambling anime.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a good one, and it's sort of tournament arc-y as well. But basically, the whole school. It's not school. It's just
it's just a gambling house.
So it's the school, right? Not school.
Nobody goes to class.
There's like clubs in other anime. No, everyone just is part of the gambling club, basically. They use real money and like social status to gamble with, and they play all these ridiculous games. Every single game, someone's cheating, and the main plot is the girl goes around and finds out how they're cheating each game. That's it. This is just a regular game of poker. Actually, no, because the cards are marked. Or this is a game I made up myself.
So it's just case closed, but every...
I would describe it more like case closed, exactly.
Every episode is just a gambling and then solution.
It gets to the point where they're playing a game, and the person that she's playing against created the game. And she still finds out how they're cheating at their own game. Because they can't win their own game by not... It's crazy. It's very entertaining. Very sexual. No. Viewer discretion is advised if you're watching Kakaguri on Netflix. But
it is a Netflix anime, though, right? Like a property?
I believe so, yeah. But that reminds me of straight cheating.
So
we'll go to Dragon Ball, I guess?
Sounds good.
Yeah,
Dragon
yeah.
Ball? All right. So we don't see all of the World Martial Arts tournaments, but that's basically what I'm going to talk about, I guess, is the World Martial Arts tournaments and the ones that we do see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with the 21st World Martial Arts Tournament, where Kid Goku loses to Jackie Chun, and I'm doing air quotes right now. And Jackie Chun is no other than Master Roshi, so that's pretty cheating. The master whooping the pupil, but
all right.
There's some like interesting fights in there, but also it's kind of meh. Like the second one is more my favorite, the 22nd World Martial Arts Tournament, where the final fight is between Goku and Tien Shinhan.
Is that
Tien? I forgot.
That's
Tien
when he's still
like
a kid, right?
Yeah, he's still a kid, and the build up to that's nice too because they kind of pit like, oh, it's Roshi's turtle hermit style versus the flying crane style, because Tien Shinhan knows how to fly and Goku doesn't know how to fly because that's like a crane style thing,
right?
So that's like a really interesting thing that I think that's the first person
was
where, like,
Yamcha's Wolfang Fang Fist in that.
Yeah, he was. Well,
he was in the 21st one as well,
and
I think he's like a runner up. I forget who he loses to. It might have been like the...
Was Krillin in the first one as well?
Yes.
and was because I from what I remember from one of the tournament arcs, it's like him and Krillin are like OP in the beginning, and they're like, hey, maybe we should like cut back in these beginning rounds because like we're just palming people.
So, I think that was that one because they show up to the tournament and they're like, we're a lot stronger than we should be.
Dude, Krillin was back when Krillin was still like up there with the power.
Peak human.
I love
Krillin
that.
Is peak human.
Dude, he is
people
one.
People forget that all the time.
He is one punch man, bald, strong.
He's the only non alien person flying around throwing Kamehameha waves out.
Yamcha didn't fly?
I don't think so.
No,
he never learned it.
No, I don't think so.
He's just been running all these
every
fights.
Time I picture Yamcha flying, it's always in a capsule vehicle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say flying into the ground.
Oh, or into the ground. Oh, man. And then...
that was the one where he fights Tien is the one with the weighted clothing, right? Because he like takes off his boots.
Wait, so the Tien one was the first tournament, or the second
one that we see.
The second one. Which one was the one where he was fighting that guy?
Or maybe it was the first tournament from Dragon Ball Z.
That might be.
Yeah, the weighted clothing sounds familiar. It wasn't Piccolo's weighted clothing, right? It was something different.
No, it was just, he just had weighted, like, boots and bands
gauntlets,
on.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't Justice Man, was it, or no?
No. This is like it was like one of the first tournaments from Dragon Ball Z. It might have been like the 24th or something like that.
Oh, I have no idea. I was gonna say, what's the one where he like tries to bring the Nimbus in? And
oh,
like,
that's Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball was that the first tournament or the second tournament?
It was the first one. He gets knocked out of the ring. Mm-hmm. His Nimbus brings him back, and then he almost gets knocked out of the ring again.
But he lands second.
His tail grows back, and it latches onto the dude's arm when he comes and swings at him.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was, like, tailless for most of one of the episodes, one of the tournament arcs.
Man, and if you're not familiar with Dragon Ball, the plot is basically this kid who is a Saiyan, who is an alien, and they're sort of like monkey humans, which humans are basically monkey humans anyways, but he has, like, a tail and transformation type stuff. But
oh, yeah, don't let him look at the full moon.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be the end of you. Then the 23rd martial arts tournament, which I don't think I've seen, is the one where he fights Piccolo, and it is the only world martial arts tournament that Goku ever wins.
Really?
Really?
And the only reason he wins it is because the fate of the Earth depended on it.
Oh. Damn.
Yep.
Because he didn't even win Cell games, right? Like, he was...
No, he was Gohan wins Cell games. Yeah.
He was hella dead.
Yeah. He was praying from heaven for the power of his son.
He was watching as his son got whooped by Cell.
Pretty much.
But
Cell games, yeah, I guess we could move on to that because that was like the last of Dragon Ball anyway.
We can go to the Dragon Ball Z. What was the first tournament arc in Dragon Ball Z?
Honestly, I don't even know if I want to count the Cell games because it's just basically like a 50-on-1. It's like, oh, right. Who can beat me? It's like... Not really a tournament. There was that other world tournament when Goku is dead after the Cell games, and then they have the fights up in heaven.
That's the Majin Buu arc, right? I think
it's like the pre one before.
I think it's right before or right as the Majin Buu stuff
is fights
starting up.
Frieza, right?
He fights like somebody that looks close to what Piccolo looks like. I think that's who the final. Person that he fights is, but there was like a lot of cool sub characters. Like, so there was one guy who turned the entire ring into like a 60-foot by 60-foot cube of water because he was an aquatic type character. And he's like, oh, obviously, in your normal environment, you have the upper hand, but because I turned the whole tournament thing into water, I can now beat you. And he gets bested still.
That's something. If you want an edge against Goku, the only reason you're winning is because of this. All right, then let's do that.
All right. Yeah. Call your terms every time with Goku. He will buy into them.
He will still probably whoop you up.
Oh, yeah. The plot armor is thick on that man.
The only thing that doesn't stop him is a bullet to the chest.
Really? Straight a special beam cannon.
Oh, special beam cannon. Bullet to the chest.
Technically, though, if we do want to talk about Cell games, Mr. Satan is the winner of the Cell games.
Oh, yeah.
By the technicality. Gohan is obviously the one that finishes him off. But
they all say, oh, it was Mr. Satan.
It was Mr. Satan.
Or in,
Dynamite Kick.
In the...
Hercule.
Yeah, that's the dubbed version. The dubbed version, they call him Hercule.
What other DBZ tournaments are there?
Honestly, I didn't find much in Z, actually.
What was the one where, because Trunks, he comes from the future,
mm-hmm.
whoops up Frieza and stuff and warns him, and then Bulma has Trunks, and as a kid, him and, I believe it's Gohan or Goten?
Yeah, it's the Majin Buu arc.
And that's
okay,
the Majin Buu.
So
yeah, where they have the juniors tournament.
Oh, yep. Okay. That's the only world martial arts tournament that we see in Z is that one.
Gotcha.
Because that's the one where Vegeta and everyone and go up to the thing and they just knuckle dust the
4,000 PSI.
I think my favorite thing is just Vegeta's nah. I'm going to let these people know how strong I actually am. Just destroys the machine. And he's like, guess we got to bring out another one.
I love the fight. Is it Goten or Gohan at that point? It's Goten, right?
Goten is the younger brother.
And then he fights the
Trunks.
Kid Trunks. Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite fights because they set the terms. All right, no Ki Blast or whatever.
There was no going Super Saiyan.
Oh, that too, yep.
It's hilarious how it just ends. Because Goten accidentally does it, and then Trunks does it, because he's like, oh, you did it first, so I'm going to do it. And then Goten just loses because his blast got dodged.
Mm-hmm. And then I think he loses because his foot very slightly touches the bleachers. And they're like, oh, he's out. Drunk
oh,
wins.
Oh, right, because he got pushed back from the blast.
Uh-huh. He's like,
and
hey,
he was,
we
like,
said no
it.
Blast. And I was like, well
you did it first.
Uh-huh. But that was a really entertaining fight. I love when they go tanks.
That is a nice fusion.
He is super cool. I think that's my favorite.
They have the original go tanks where they're just one on top of the other when they're fighting Android 18.
Mm.
Or is it 17? 17?
I don't remember.
I think 17 is...
17's
the
boy.
Yeah, so 18, when they're fighting her in the tournament, but they're one on top of the other.
Oh my gosh.
Was there any tournaments in GT?
I have never watched GT. We should call my brother Rome
it's
for GT.
It's been a very, very long time since I've watched GT.
I honestly really liked the mood and style of GT.
GT was decent up until Goku became a kid again, I would say. Because they had the whole fusion of Super Saiyan 4
mm-hmm.
with him and with Goku and Vegeta together. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's watching that final fight.
Super Saiyan 4 was super cool.
That's the only GT I've ever seen, though, is when Gohan or Goku is back to being a kid.
Honestly, I thought GT was all him. He's still how does he turn into a kid?
It's when they're going on it's him, Pan, and Trunks are all together and they're trying to find the Dragon Balls, but out in space. So they're going to a bunch of different planets.
So technically, is it space balls?
And
we have Dragon Ball Super, because
I
can't remember anything from GT other than just Super Saiyan 4.
Yeah,
and I've not caught up on Super at all. So
me neither.
I'm shabby there.
I do know there's some epic fights in Super, though. I've seen the dodge of the...
Century.
Yes, the dodge of the century. Or he freaking rides her beam with his
Camaro.
Oh, yeah. So instead of it being a world martial arts tournament, it's...
martial arts tournament?
Yeah, it's ten universes, and there's, 10 fighters from each. And they're doing a universe tournament where the... tournaments or the universes that get knocked out, their universe gets destroyed.
Who destroys the universe?
The gods that are presiding over the tournament.
Oh, like the
vanilla
little,
gods?
Those Beerus? Or?
Not Beerus. So it's not Beerus. It's those little tiny guys that are holding the iPads.
Oh, okay.
They're the most powerful beings in the universe.
Are they? So in regards to the Dragon Balls or the Dragon Ball universe, real quick, Goku, is there people ahead of Goku?
Oh, definitely, yes.
So who would is Beerus ahead of Goku, or did, because I remember they fought and
Beerus?
Someone said that they destroyed time space when they fought, or and I'm like,
Beerus is still stronger than Goku,
mm-hmm.
but Goku, I think the more he goes into the Ultra Instinct, the more he's able to master it, and he's going to be able to surpass Beerus.
Okay.
But I guess we'll find
out.
We
see Ultra Instinct first in the tournament, right?
the...
No, there's some part in the anime where he's able to kind of access it a little bit, but like when he's mainly using it is in that final tournament.
And who's like the big bad in that one?
This is Universe 3, so Jiren.
Jiren
is
like... typical alien-looking guy?
Yeah, he's like the main, he's the main person that Goku has to fight, like, that is on the same level as him. Which, and it gets intense. It's great, though.
I was like, does he defeat him in the god form, or no?
So, do you want me to give you the spoiler of who wins the tournament?
In regards to Super, I don't mind. Go ahead. I know who it is. So you don't have to tell Skylar because I know who it is.
Okay, but it's not who you think it is that wins.
Is there teams in that?
If it's Mr. Satan again, I'm
it's a what do you mean teams?
Like, is it like a 3-on-1 or is it always 1v1s?
Oh no, it's a free for all.
Oh, just a straight free for all.
10v10s.
Yeah, so it's like all the whoever passed the preliminaries for those universes go to this big. Tournament ground where it's like, I think 40 minutes.
I didn't know it was a free for all.
It's a 40-minute fight of a free for all, and if you get knocked out or if you're unable to fight, you go back to the stands.
Because I know who wins, and I want to see that now because I didn't know if it was a free for all thing.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a free for all.
I think I'm gonna skip right to that.
Just skip right to it. You know you want to.
I think I am too. Yeah.
I just want the action. I don't care about
just
the story.
Just watch the Kefla fight.
Actually, we have a half hour left. Let's do it right now.
Yep. Boot it up.
Boot it up. But so are there any other tournament arcs in Super so far? Or?
Not that I'm aware of, but I literally haven't watched any of Super except for just that last tournament arc when it was being released out in Japan. I was watching the subs of it.
Gotcha. And where does Broly lie on the timeline?
Just in the movie. It's definitely after that.
He's never been introduced in the series, has
No.
he?
No. This is the movie is kind of him being introduced in the series of Goku saying hey, I'm going to see you in the future.
Because power-wise, would you say he's stronger than Jiren?
He could probably be on par with Jiren if he was fighting...
fighting him long enough?
Well, fighting him long enough, but, you saw the movie. How they went Super Saiyan God Ki. And he was kind of, being matched with it.
Oh, right. They had to... So he wasn't really matching the fusion because that's when he was,
getting whooped up and they had to wish him away to his other planet.
Right, so that was him...
He would have died.
Yeah, he would have died facing the fused Super Saiyan God form.
So many flair words.
The fused Super Saiyan.
So were
God
they Gogeta because they used the fusion dance? or were they Vegeta Go?
No, it was
Vegeta.
It was Gogeta.
Gogeta.
The earrings are
Vegito.
Vegito.
And the
what did they?
The fusion dance is Gogeta.
So there's just a. Dance or dance with earrings?
No, there's a dance. There's either the fusion dance that they do,
the earrings.
Instantly. Okay.
Oh, who was it when they were gonna fuse and then they passed the earring and then he dropped it and it just broke on the rock? You remember? I think he threw it to Vegeta and Vegeta whiffed the catch and then it broke. What? Oh. was that Broly or no?
No, it was probably in
whenever
later episode of DBZ.
I think it was whenever Gogeta was introduced probably in that.
They're how are we gonna do this now?
Oh well, there goes the
You guys can
of the
dance.
Universe.
I'm not dancing with you.
I'm not dancing.
Spoiler, the failures are hilarious. Look at the failures.
So what's the next anime that you have?
Man. We've run clear through my little small list besides Yu Yu Hakusho.
So we're up to Yu Yu Hakusho?
I heard Paul had some sleepers.
I do.
He's got
Gundam.
Oh, that's some Flames of Recca?
So there's this one Gundam anime. I couldn't, for the life of me, remember what it was, and I had to look it up. And it's called Mobile Fighter G Gundam. So the whole point of it is the Earth is pretty much ravaged and destroyed. And then every 4 years, all the nations
fight about it.
They have like all the nations have like this tournament Gundam fight where each country has its own Gundam.
Dude, that's and the winner, awesome sounding.
The winner of the tournament gets to rule the Earth for 4 years until the next Gundam fight tournament
Dude,
happens.
That is what we should be doing for
let's evolve
for the world. Like
Japan's gonna win every time.
But well, no, it'll inspire all the other
they
countries.
They have their first Gundam.
Like we need to make. They're getting ready.
Well, we got ours.
We need
too.
To specialize in an aquatic Gundam. I think.
Oh, I guess we auto win because we have a Gundam and you guys don't.
Auto win. Choose your greatest fighter: Prime Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Japan's mobile suit.
But I remember watching it on Toonami, like back in the. I think early 2000s or something like that, where they would get in the Gundam and this bodysuit thing would go over them, and then they would be able to control the Gundam with the bodysuit on.
Bodysuit.
No, so that's kind
of
weird.
Involved, a little bit of bondage.
But it was
Is that kinda unique? Because I don't remember them controlling Gundams like that.
Yeah, it's like I think just unique to that series.
It's like straight up Pacific Rim style.
Real quick, we should actually we could probably have a whole podcast about mech animes.
I thought you were gonna say about Gundam.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely Gundam.
Let's do that.
Gundam too. Yeah, because I'm trying to think of other ways.
Because Mike would probably want to be on that too. Because I think he watches a bunch of mecha anime, doesn't he?
I think so.
I think. Yeah. I think like the anime that he does like is like mech anime.
Mm-hmm. Because there's one, I swear I've seen it just, oh no, it was Better Man, actually.
Just say what you want to do.
Mm. Better Man, they controlled the mechs with the liquid, and they put their hands in the liquid, and then that's how they controlled the mechs, basically.
I was asleep the whole time.
You were.
Oh, I God, was.
You were. But that was a really cool way that, I was like, oh, that's very unique. The mechs in there looked atrocious. Like, they were real blocky. They were like the bad guys from Gundam, like the very standard, ugly-looking ones. But
so,
what's the bad people from anime? Or from anime!
Gundam?
Yes.
Imperial?
I thought that's Zoid or Zer?
Zinku? I think that's the name of the...
The mech, actually?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
It's like a Zinku. I'm...
Zatu? No, it's not Zatu. That would be an X.
But,
continue, I'm sorry.
There's another anime I think that we have all seen that has a really good tournament in it, and it's called Naruto.
Hey!
The Chunin Exams? The Chunin Exams. Ooh. Those are all really good.
Oh, man.
So, well, I picked out like a couple episodes that everyone would probably remember from the show if they were just like, hey, remember that one fight? And it would just bring back memories.
You remember when Rock Lee took off and weights?
That's the first one I want to talk about.
Hey.
Oh, one of the best fights of anime.
So the Chunin Exams are like set in a three. Oh, what'd you get?
Zaku.
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 That's what it was.
All right, nice. Continue.
Model Kit MS Zaku.
So they're set in several phases for the Chunin Exam. The first phase is just like a written exam, which... It's hilarious because Naruto answers none of the questions. But
now, before we
passes.
Delve into that really quick, for you listeners at home, just to keep up ever so slightly, Naruto is about ninjas. It's a world of ninjas. And Chunin is basically the next level of ninja. Think of it going from like middle school to high school or high school to college. And you need to take your entrance exams to get into it. For ninjas, they have to go through this Chunin exam to get to the next level, to go from Genin to Chunin. And it's not like your typical written exam, except the first round of,
is a just written exam where they have to use their ninjutsu to cheat.
Yep. And I love how they cheat, though. Like, Gaara straight up has one hand over his eye the entire time, and no one thinks it's sus, and his eyeball's just flying around the room.
Like, how does none of the other, what are they called, proctors? How do the proctors not see
They're probably
see
staring
it?
Dead at him like, okay, he's definitely cheating. I
think I
have
that they,
no idea how.
I think that they don't care. They're just like, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a...
Or Sasuke, the way he cheats is he uses the Sharingan to mimic the person ahead of him exact thing and writes the answers down. So probably all slightly to the right. He's got to zone in.
Really jank cursive.
And then you have freaking Naruto just tanking it.
Sweating it out.
Sweating it out, not writing a single thing.
Naruto with the talk no jutsu.
The talk no jutsu. Oh my God.
The entirety of Naruto is Naruto talking to the bad guys the entire time.
Oh my! They think Naruto's so like cool too because he didn't write a single answer on his exam. What a god! How did he know that none of this was gonna matter anyway? And then they announce, all right, there's one more question, and the other questions don't matter. It's if you get this one right, then you get the whole thing. And Naruto starts banking on that last question. All right, this is it. I gotta
get this.
They told me I'm not allowed to
cheat.
He's
just sweating it.
Didn't study at all.
Then there's a second phase where they go into this like training ground called Forest of Death, where they have to like go to the center for basically like the preliminary fights, but they have to have two scrolls, so they have to find the scrolls from all the other
in the Forest of Death.
Yeah,
also there's something to know, they have to take the exam in groups of three too. So in the forest,
they have to work together as a unit.
Yeah, so they're a team, and I think it's the Forest of Death, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called the Forest of Death, but it's like the training grounds.
The training grounds,
because a lot of people die there. Apparently,
there's a lot of things to progress the story in that as well. That's doesn't have to do with the exams, but we'll leave the story stuff to if you want to look it up. But yeah, basically, you said the scrolls they have to get to pass.
Yeah, to like be able to get into the preliminaries.
And then a heaven scroll and an earth scroll?
Yep.
Dang, look at all this knowledge.
I remembered earth. I was like, what's that other one?
And then they have the preliminary fights, which only one I'm going to talk about
is
the
girth
one.
The girth of it.
It's
Now, before you get into that, I feel like we should tell them where we're at in the tuning exam.
Let's describe the two characters, the two combatants.
All right. Well, even before that, I just want to paint a picture to the ones at home following along. So after round two of the tuning exams is where we get into the tournament arc, which is the round three. But they have a preliminary one, and by that time, a lot of them are already beat up. So they have the preliminary tournament, and then I think a month or 2 months.
It's a month that passes for everyone to like prepare and get like new jutsu.
Because Sasuke is literally like barely alive, and he wins his round.
You got one or two, maybe three.
Chidori.
His Chidori meter. You got two, maybe three
per day.
Per day. Oh man, per day. But anyway, so yeah. So by the time that the tournament's actually ready to start, it's a month after the second round. And
the preliminaries are right after the Forest of Death.
Actually, Rock Lee's taken out in the preliminaries, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about.
All right, we're here.
And thanks for ruining it.
Oh, man.
So it's Gaara versus Rock Lee. Now, Gaara, he's a sand ninja.
He's promoted to be complete badassery.
Mm. Completely untouchable.
Also, side note, sidebar. It's not just one tribe. Like, it's tribes from all over the land comes to take these exams. So you have sand, you got the leaf
music
hidden in the leaf, hidden the sound and all that.
So he's able to like control sand with like his jutsu, and his teammates, like the entire time they've known him, they've known no one's gotten through these defenses.
No one has touched him.
Iron defense with these sand jutsu.
No one has touched this man. And may I remind you, Rock Lee is like kind of the comedic relief.
Poindexter. Yeah.
Poindexter. Okay.
Bull haircut.
When you see this matchup and you're already like 100 and some episodes in, you know Rock Lee's going down. But.
So Rock Lee gets entered into this tournament, and he can't do any type of like ninja tricks or ninja arts.
Right, he's got no jutsus. Rock Lee is a beater, a fist fighter among star throwers and
shooters. Really quick, in the ninja world, there are three things you can do: ninjutsu, taijutsu, and genjutsu. Rock Lee can only do taijutsu, which is basically what me and you can do.
Hand-to-hand.
He can't do no magic tricks. He can't see through deception. He's just a beater.
He's 100% a vanilla beater.
Going against the guy who's never been touched.
So the fight starts, and Rock Lee's just straight away just trying to get through these defenses. You just see the sand just coming up to block him, and everyone's like, there's no way he can get touched.
He's going down.
He's going down.
Rock Lee's going to die.
If he dies, he dies.
That's what everyone's thinking.
And then Rock Lee backs off, and his teacher's like, hey, remember that thing I told you not to do? You can do it now. And so Rock Lee just
takes off these weights.
They're ankle weights.
They're like probably like several hundred pounds on each leg.
And also, I'd almost say like half a ton apiece.
Half a ton weight. And the reveal is like one of the best ding moments
ever. He's on this pedestal and he drops them down. From a super high height, and they fall. And then the dust that gets kicked up from these weights just as tall as where he was standing.
Just so leaves two craters. As they're falling, everyone's like, what are some weights going to do?
I love the scene, too, because right before, like, there's no way he's penetrating Gaara's defenses, and his teacher says he can do it. And then they slowly fade out the music and all the background stuff, and all it is just like Sakura saying, what are a bunch of little ankle weights going to do? And everyone's saying, oh, yeah.
And then some Foley guy punching meat.
And then the sheer monstrosity of these weights. And then Kakashi's like, guy, you are a monster. He's like, well, that's what I got to do.
It's pretty great. And then
he proceeds to whoop him up.
Yeah, so.
Oh, man.
So the best part is just like, he just disappears because he's so fast. And Gaara's just looking around. And
the heel drop?
It's leading up to it, but just like he's running around Gaara just punching him, and you just see the sand explode around him.
Right next to his face, like he's sweating.
Like he's like, oh, he was never this fast before. And then all of a sudden you see Rock Lee just spinning above him and just an ankle drop right on
his
head.
And then he releases his ankle.
It's pretty hilarious because everyone's just like,
that's like a typical BattleBot move. It builds the gyration and then releases the
momentum. That was pretty great. It ended on some BS, but
yeah. I think we can all agree it ended on some BS. Yeah. But like, so there's these. Do you want to talk about the chakra gates, the inner gates?
Oh yeah, so Rock Lee. Real quick, Rock Lee. He also has some chakra gates, which align with the chakras of, I believe it's like Indian culture,
Karma Sutra. Buddhism,
Karma Sutra Buddhism. Yeah, and they each chakra is called something different in Naruto, obviously. But once you unlock a certain few, like it's like the gate of death, the gate of healing, the gate of
pain. He ends up opening five gates. And
he's not allowed. He completely skips two gates. He does them out of order.
He does all of them in order.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just he's not allowed to open them, and he just starts flying through them, I think.
So he opens the last one that he like can get up to, and it's so stressful on his body that his blood is actually like misting out of his skin, which is why his skin is red in that fight, and.
You don't even see. You just see Gaara getting punched in the air, and how strong. Just to give you the strength, they're in midair. He punches Gaara to the ground. He's above him. He has him wrapped up in his little bandage. In midair, he pulls him back and then punches him again. And like he whoops him. Oh,
and this is where Broccoli. This is where the BS comes in. Gaara's gourd protects him, and he wins.
It has a mind of its own because his eyes were.
He wins because Guy intervenes and doesn't want his student to die, which any one of us would probably do.
Yeah.
So quick, let's jump to Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yu Yu Hakusho.
And by the way, the tuning. There's something that happened in the tuning exams, Naruto versus Neji, and that. The Gaara Rock Lee is like the highlight. So,
I don't know about you guys, but I think the Yu Yu Hakusho, having now seen the first season into the second season, the build up for Toguro to be like, "Hey, I wasn't even using a third of my power, so I'm going to show you my full power. Give you 2 months, and you're going to fight me in this tournament, or I'm going to kill your family and everyone you know and love."
Yep.
And then it unfolds into the Dark Tournament, which is a whole season built upon the fight to Tagoro. and they have all these like crazy side teams coming in. Like, I think the first team that they fight is like the gimmicky characters, right? You got like the kid with the yo-yos, and then
it's cool because in Hunter x Hunter, there's one of his.
Is there a yo-yo character?
Yeah, it gets introduced kind of later, but I was like, oh, nice yo-yos.
Like, I kind of like when they do gimmicky stuff like that and add like. Toys that you'd never see ever again. Like, when's the last time you've seen a yo-yo?
Each one of his yo-yos, though, are about, like, 110 pounds a piece. And he's, like, flicking them around like they're nothing.
It killed me when it, like, started off and he was just like, oh, okay, straight throws. And then he just held his hands out and they had minds of their own. Insane. But there's, like, I think some really cool sub-characters, too, that are introduced. Like, Chu, who is that the super drunken fist guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like one of those characters where it's like, okay, he's not complete villainy, like, because there's the rule in the tournament where it's like, you don't have to kill the opponent. If the opponent says they give up, then
it's over.
You don't have to kill him.
That's one of my favorite parts about the Yu Yu Hakusho Dark Tournament. With that, we are out of time. So thank you guys for coming today. It was a very interesting conversation. Very niche at home of you're either going to hate it, or you're going to be like, this is everything. This is hitting all my points. Oh, my God. This is the greatest. I'm going to follow and get a sticker.
But how can you not consider the Cell Games a tournament arc?
How can you not consider the Cell Games a tournament arc? They're called games. But anyways, I'm Jose Rodriguez. You've been listening to Region Nerd Alert on 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio. To my left is
Skylar Rothgeb, a.k.a. Olatho. You can find me on Twitter at @OfficiallyOVA.
And to his left, we have
Paul Pogrzelski, the non-social media having dude.
Off the grid.
Straight taijutsu Paul.
Off the grid Paul.
No genjutsu, no ninjutsu, no kind of fun stuff at all.
Just straight taijutsu.
Just mean Paul. Heel dropped.
But thank you guys for coming. Thank you all for listening today. And tune in next week at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM on Saturday. And goodbye.
Goodbye.